All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. As you guys can hear, I have a terrible cold. And I cannot stop coughing. So I hope you'll bear with me this morning. Jeremiah chapter 31. And I would like to begin reading in verse 31 and read down to verse 34. And verse 34 is going to be the text verse. I will take my thoughts this morning from the last part of verse 34. But let's get the whole paragraph here. Beginning in verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." Now, I want you to pay real close attention to this next phrase. This is where I'm going to preach from this morning. Look at what God says here. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I will remember their sin no more. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? God says, "I will remember their sin no more." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, God's amazing ability to forget. God's amazing ability to forget. You know, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, God does exactly this for you. Just think back to the day when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Think of that day when you got saved. And on that day, right then, you were forgiven of your sin. And the good thing is, God forgot about it. We used to sing this song years ago. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. And that's what God does. He forgets. After we're forgiven, sin is forgotten. Wow. You say, but how can He do that? Well, I'm going to show you this morning how He does that. Let's pray together and in the message, God's amazing ability to forget. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this great promise that is found in this verse. It is amazing that You can forgive us of our sin. But because You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and He did exactly what He was sent to do, we can be forgiven. But Father, we're also thankful that not only do You forgive us, but You forget our sin, never to be remembered against us anymore. Thank You for what You have done in providing us this wonderful salvation through Your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray You'll bless this morning as I speak on this subject. I pray You will fill me with Your Spirit and help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I want folks to be helped this morning. And just enable us to see what You have done for us when You saved our souls. And Father, if there is even one here this morning who is not sure they're saved, may they see their need of trusting Christ as their Savior. Just give us a great day for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, the Bible over and over tells us just how amazing our God, the God of the Bible, is. From any number of perspectives, I could take the Bible this morning and talk to you about how amazing the God of the Bible is. We are told in Scripture that His ways are not our ways, and more times than not, His ways are so far beyond our understanding that we sometimes cannot even grasp how amazing, how wonderful God is. We read in this verse something about the Lord that is so different from the way we are. It's so different from us. It is something God can do, but we have such a hard time doing it that it just boggles our minds to even think that God is able to do what the Bible says He can do here. We find it difficult to bring ourselves to grasp, to believe, to understand that God can forget. To speak of His forgetfulness seems almost like we're being irreverent. I mean, we're saying that God can forget, and it's almost like we're being irreverent when we say that. We know that we are forgetful, right? Yeah, and the older we get, the worse it gets, doesn't it? We know that we are forgetful. And the truth is, we even gladly admit that we are forgetful, because a lot of times admitting it gets us out of embarrassing situations. Oh, it's your birthday. I forgot. And we use forgetfulness as an excuse. We'll go, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm losing my mind. Well, we forget things all the time. And we know that we do. We know that we forget things. But we think of forgetfulness as something we do, but never as something God would do. We forget people's names. We forget their faces. We forget meeting people. We forget promises that we make to one another. The truth of the matter is, we forget things all the time. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean. There was a time when you stood beside the one you loved with the preacher in front of you or the judge in front of you, and you made a promise that you would love and honor and be faithful and cherish in sickness and in health so long as you were both alive. But wow, how many marriage vows have been forgotten through the years? How many times did we go to a church service or maybe a revival meeting or a missions conference and the word of the Lord spoke to our heart and God's Holy Spirit began to move, and we went to an altar and we bowed our heads and we said, "Lord, I will do this." And we promised God something that we would do for Him. But then with the passing of time, we got away from that vow, and it was just like we forgot all about what we had promised God we would do. And you know, sometimes we even forget those that we love. Sometimes an elderly mom or dad is eagerly waiting by the phone, but no call ever comes. Maybe a wife is aching for a little bit of appreciation. Or maybe a husband is hungering for something of a tender thoughtfulness of days gone by, but sometimes we forget the ones that we love. Now, of course, we normally don't forget on purpose, but nonetheless, we, being sinners, are prone to forget. And then how often do even God's people forget our Lord? We forget the one who gave us life, the one that sustains us and has watched over us at every step of the way down life's road. We forget the one that reached down in the pit and lifted us out of that pit and saved our souls. We forget that one. You know, it's easy to do. When we gather for the Lord's table, for what we call communion, Paul said that the Lord Jesus told him that we were to eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of him. That's the whole purpose for taking the Lord's table. Of course, you know, men have gotten a hold of it and tried to make it a part of you know, one of the steps to salvation, but that's not what it was intended for. It was to get us to remember the fact that Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for our sin. In remembrance of me. So you see, God knows how easy it is for us to forget. But is God like us in that he sometimes forgets? Are there some things that slip out of God's memory banks? Well, just asking that makes me a little nervous, I'll be honest with you. Just asking that question makes me think that I'm just standing right on the edge of blasphemy, just asking the question. And yet the answer to the question is, according to my text, yes. There is something that God forgets. Now let me just give you two thoughts this morning. Of course, there's 19 points under each thought, but no, I'm joking. But let me just give you two thoughts this morning and two little things that I hope you'll remember. The first thing, there are some things that God Almighty never forgets. There are some things that God Almighty never forgets. And we learn this when we read the Bible. You see, when I say that God sometimes forgets, his forgetfulness is seemingly limited to just one specific thing. We forget all manner of things, don't we? But when you think about God forgetting, it seems that God's forgetfulness is only limited to one thing. Now, there are some areas where the Bible tells us and teaches us that God is never going to forget. For example, he will never forget this universe that he created. My Bible tells me not only is he the creator of this universe, but he is the sustainer of this universe. He holds it all in place. I remember back a couple of months ago, I think it was during the snowstorm, and it was at night and around 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and I was watching, it was either the Science Channel or National Geographic or History or the Evolution Channel, one of them. I don't know, remember which one it was. And they had a show on there about the Hubble space ship, you know, the camera thing. and how they made it and all this stuff. And then they talked about this new one that they're sending up and how much better it is and all. And they were showing the pictures and the difference between the pictures and all this. And as I was watching it, they were touting their Big Bang Theory. Folks, if you've read the Bible, the Big Bang is at the end, not at the beginning. Okay? Don't let that Big Bang thing confuse you. There is a Big Bang, but it just hadn't happened yet. You say, well, where'd we all come from? Well, God said, and we came. God spoke. Okay? God spoke. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it is much easier for me to believe that God, the God of heaven, the God of this Bible, created the world. So much easier for me to believe that than to believe that we all came about as a process of evolution over millions of years. I have often given this illustration, but a lot of new folks. If I, this watch, my wife bought me this watch for Christmas a couple of years ago. It is an ESQ watch. This watch has Roman numerals on it. It has the calendar in it. It has the minute hand, the hour hand. It has a crystal on the front. It has all the workable parts of a watch. Let's suppose that I could take this watch completely apart. I have got a watch up here in a pile, just all parts, and it's all in a pile. And then I take a coffee can and shove all the parts of this watch. There's the stem, there's the numbers, there's the calendar, there's all the little cogs and wheels inside, there's the face, there's the band, all the individual parts of this band, the clasp. It's all piled up here, separated, individual pieces, and then I shove it all in a coffee can, get me a stick, and start stirring. How many kabillions of years do you think I'm going to have to stand here and stir the ingredients of this watch before, poof, a perfect working watch pops out? That is not happening. And brethren, I'm here today to tell you that it takes a whole lot more faith for you to believe in the Big Bang Theory. And because let me tell you, the human body is 10,000 times more complicated than that ESQ watch. No, we're here because God spoke. God spoke. And I was sitting there listening to them expound their Big Bang Theory, and I found myself yelling at the TV and yelling at their foolishness for not believing in creation by divine fiat. Folks, not only did God create the universe, but He sustains it with His power. And right now, it's daytime, but I am not one bit worried that this evening God will forget to put the sun to rest. I am not one bit concerned that tomorrow morning the sun will forget to come up. It never crosses my mind. No, our world is upheld by the word of His power. There is something else, though, that God will never forget. Let me tell you something, Christian. God will never forget one of His own. Never. Never. We might forget Him, but you can be assured He will not forget us. The Lord Jesus said that the Father remembers to clothe the lilies of the field. And He remembers where the sparrow falls to the ground. And then He reminds us that we are all so much more valuable to Him than flowers and birds. So you can be assured that the Lord is thinking about you right now. He knows where you are. He knows where you're sitting in church this morning. He knows who's behind you, who's in front of you. He even knows what is going through your mind at this moment. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do when you get home after a while. He knows what you're going to eat. He's thinking of you. Because you're one of His own. He knows exactly where you're seated. He knows what you're thinking. He at this very moment, God is remembering you. Let me illustrate. There are thousands of stories that were told about Napoleon Bonaparte. One famous story, and you probably have heard it, was about one of his drummers. As they were marching across the Alps, Napoleon decided that he wanted a drum corps to keep his men moving. And so they were marching across the snow-covered Alps. And as they were marching, one of his drummers lost his footing and fell down into a chasm. And he was not seriously hurt, but he was unable to climb out. And the other soldiers did not dare stop to retrieve their fellow soldier without the little general's approval, and he would not give his approval. Instead, he ordered the men to keep marching. And that young man was beating on his drum to gain the attention of the men that were passing above him. And the men were eager to help him, but Napoleon would have nothing to do with it. As they marched on, the boy started beating his own death march. Napoleon's men were marching on, many with tears in their eyes, but Napoleon would not be moved. You see, he was too busy conquering the world to remember an insignificant boy who had been clumsy enough to lose his footing and fall. But dear friend, you can be assured, your heavenly Father is not anything like Napoleon. Your heavenly Father does not forget the man who has lost his footing. The prophet said of him, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Truth is, our Lord has a place in His heart for anyone who is wounded. Can I prove this to you? Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was hanging on Calvary's cross? And on one side of Him was a thief, and on the other side, another thief. And the Bible tells us that one of the thieves looked over and said, "If you are who you say you are, then come down from the cross and save yourself and save us too." But the other thief looked over at the one who had just spoken and said, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you are dying yourself? Do you not fear God?" He said, "We deserve our punishment, but this man has done nothing amiss." And then he said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus looked back as far as He could and said to that repentant thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, He was busy on that cross, but He was not so busy conquering death and conquering hell and conquering the grave that He forgot a sinner who was in need of a Savior. And when He stepped into paradise that day, that thief was walking, holding on to the hand of the Son of God. Amen. Yes. I'm telling you, folks, He'll never forget you. You don't ever have to worry about that. He'll never forget you. But then number two, I must hasten on. There is one thing that the Bible tells us God will forget. One thing. There's some things He'll never forget. But there's one thing the Bible says that He will forget. Now, because of all that I said in that first point, it is really hard for us to imagine that God could forget anything. But according to the text that I have read for you this morning, there is one thing that God forgets. And as best as I can tell, this is the only thing that God ever forgets. And I think all of us would agree, this is the one thing that each and every one of us hopes He forgets. You say, well, Pastor, what's He forget? He forgets our sin. That's what my text verse says. He said, and I will remember their sin no more. When I was a sinner and I came to Him, He forgave me of my sin. And when He forgave me of my sin, He lovingly forgets about those sins. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? There's a verse you can write the reference down. I don't have time this morning to turn to it, but you write the reference down. It's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. And God said that repented sin is gone. Gone. You say, well, Pastor, where does it go? Well, who cares? As long as God says it's gone, I'm not going to go looking for it, are you? If He says you're forgiven and your sin is gone, I'm good with that. In another spot, the psalmist said that our sins are separated, get this now, separated as far as the east is from the west. Now, let me give you something to think about. Here's north and here's south. What's up north? The North Pole, right? What's down south? The South Pole. All right, now, let's suppose that we could get in a car and we're going to drive south. We're going to go through Virginia and then North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida and Cuba and the Antilles and then down to Trinidad and Tobago and then Guyana. And then we're going to hit somewhere. And then we're going to keep going, go into Brazil and go down to Argentina. And then we're going to cross the creek down there and end up in Antarctica. And we're eventually going to get to the South Pole. And then when you get to the South Pole, all of a sudden, you're no longer going south. You are going north. Right? And notice, He did not say that our sins are as separated as the north from the south. He said your sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Now watch. If we get in that same car, it needs an oil change by now, but if we get in that same car and we go west, we go through the Promised Land, West Virginia, we go through Ohio, we go through Indiana and Illinois and Iowa, and then we end up out in California, and then we cross the creek again, and we end up in Russia. Then we go across Russia and into Europe, and then we're just always going west, no matter, as long as we keep going the same direction, we're just always going west, right? You don't reach a spot out there somewhere in the middle of the Pacific where all of a sudden you're no longer going west. You're now coming back east. No, no. That's why He said your sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Never to be remembered against you no more. Folks, you don't ever, listen, you don't ever have to worry about dying and going to heaven and standing there and have God say, well, you were saved and you were saved and you were saved and you, but wait a minute, Cookie, I got a few sins I want to talk to you about. No, they're gone, forgiven and forgotten. And that is our God. Folks, that is our God. That's how much He loves us. God forgives us and then He forgets. You say, well, Pastor, how does God do that? Well, listen. The only explanation is the fact that He loves us. Now, let me illustrate that. I want you to imagine an elderly, gray-haired mother. This mother has a mature son of about 50 years of age. And back in his teen years, and in his early 20s, her son was wild. He was just a foolish young man. Sinful. Just had a wicked little heart. And he drove his mother crazy with his wicked ways. She has a head full of gray hair, most of them caused by his foolishness when he was in his 20s and teenager. There are wrinkles on her brow that his choices along life's way forever etched as she lay awake at night and worried and prayed for her son. But one day, the gospel came to his house. One day, some folks from Church of the Open Door stopped and knocked at his door. And they led him to Christ. He gave his heart to the Lord. When he called upon the Lord, he found his sin forgiven. And he discovered that he was a new creature in Jesus Christ. And now for some years he has lived for the Lord and he has learned his Bible and he has grown as a Christian and he is now a man of faith. Now should you go to the mother and sit down with that mother today and ask her, was not John a handful of trouble years ago? She will give you a pained look and say, John? Oh no, John was no trouble. He has always been a good boy. You see, her love has forgotten. She forgot all about all that he used to be. And folks, Christ's loving heart towards us is like a mother's loving heart, only infinitely more tender. He forgives and then he remembers our sin no more. Wow. That's a comfort to my heart, is it not to yours? Christ forgets because he washes away our stains and heals our ugly wounds. A few years back, I don't know, it's been probably 8-10 years ago now, but excuse me. I started noticing this bump. I had this bump on my chin right here. And I didn't know what it was, but I figured it wasn't anything good. And I had my annual, 6-month or annual checkup at the doctor. And he said, is there anything that you want to talk, anything that you see that I need to look at? And I said, well, I got this bump right here. And he looked at it and he pushed on it and he wiggled it around a little bit. And he said, yeah, he said, that looks like a skin cancer to me. He said, I think you probably ought to go down to Hopkins and let them test that out. You'll probably have to have surgery and have it cut out. And I said, oh, great, wonderful. And so I made the appointment and went down to the office and they took a little biopsy of it. And they sent word, said, yeah, it's a basal cell carcinoma and it needs to be amputated. and removed. And I said, okay, so we set the date and the doctor told me, he said, now this is going to take a while. He said, I want you to be prepared. You're going to be here all day. And I was there all day from 8 till 4. They let me go a little bit after 4. And at 8 o'clock, I went in and they took a needle and numbed the area. And then he started cutting. And he said, he cut a little bit and he said, well, let me test this. Don't go anywhere. And so he came back in and he said, nope, we need to dig more. And I'm sitting there thinking, good grief, this guy's going to cut my face off. And he kept cutting, kept digging, kept pulling, kept numbing. I was all for the numbing. Oh yeah, just keep it. I don't want to feel anything. Just numb the whole head if you want to. And he kept cutting and kept cutting. He said, well, I got to go eat lunch. And I said, well, what about me? He said, you just stay right here. He went and ate lunch, left me sitting in there. So he came back a little later and kept digging. And I said, finally I spoke up. I said, look, the way you're cutting on me, I'm going to have a scar. Looks like I've been in a war. He said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, I'm a certified plastic surgeon. He said, I am cutting you in a natural wrinkle. And he said, I know it seems excessive, but I'm going to sew it up from the inside out. And I'm going to stitch that thing to where it'll just look like you got a wrinkle right there. Just a natural wrinkle. And I said, really? He said, oh yeah, you'll never know. You'll never know. The cancer is gone. And you know, that was one of the longest days I ever spent in my life. I was miserable sitting in that chair. All day long, just coming back. Every half hour, 45 minutes, here he comes. Got to do more. But you know, today, that cancer is gone. And I don't ever even think about it anymore. Oh, I'll go to shave my face in the morning and I will turn sideways. And if I turn sideways and look at it, I can see that scar is there. But to you, it just looks like a natural wrinkle. You just think, boy, Pastor sure is getting old. And you're right. But I don't ever think about it. Why? It's gone. It's gone. And folks, when we get saved, we are in fellowship with the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. And that's where this whole term justified comes in. We are justified just as if we had never sinned. When God looks at you as a believer, God does not look at you and see a sinner. God looks at you and sees you just as if you had never sinned one time against God. We're forgiven and it's forgotten. You see, that's what makes salvation so wonderful. Now, the question that I need to ask you is, have you been forgiven? You say, well, Pastor, I hope I have. No, you can know that you have. John said these things right when to you that ye may know that you have eternal life. You see, the Lord is ready to forgive you. He is ready to pour out His love and grace upon you and is willing and ready and able to forgive you. He is ready to forgive and forget your sins. You say, well, Pastor, what do I got to do for that? Well, the Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What you got to do is just trust Christ. You know, when I was a kid, my brother was a year younger than me, and I was always about that much bigger than him. I always outweighed him by about that much, and I could always handle him. I wouldn't even try now. I'd get winded after 15 seconds, but I just always could one-up him when we were little. And I don't know how many times my mom would come around the corner. I didn't think she was within earshot, but she got it all. And mama would come around the corner and she'd say, you look at your brother right now and apologize to him. And I would do what, you know, sinners do, sorry. And my mom would go, no, that's not good enough. You look at your brother and apologize. And she made me make eye contact with him and made me apologize and made me mean it. And that's all God wants from any of us. You see, he's the one we have sinned against. And God just wants us to look at him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have sinned against you. I now call upon the name of the Lord. I want the Lord to save me. And just let him forgive you. And know that when you're forgiven, it's then forgotten.